Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We continue to consider together this section of Paul's letter, which we've entitled God's Directives for Family Living. And we come this morning to the beginning of chapter 6, and we read the first 3 verses. Children, are you listening? Children and parents, I expect you also as children to be as carefully listening as your own children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. This very obviously is a sermon for children, which of course we all of us are. But clearly, in the context of this letter, Paul is speaking to younger children, to children, I think, who are still at home, who are under the care of their parents. Not exclusively to them, I think. We have an obligation, a responsibility to our parents until they die. But particularly, I think, Paul is addressing those children within the congregation. He has spoken first of their mothers and their fathers, husbands and wives. And then next time we shall see, he speaks to fathers. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So particularly, Paul is speaking to those children who yet live under the care, the oversight of their parents in their homes. And Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, has something very particular to say to children in the church. But before we look carefully at what Paul says to children, notice this striking thing, although it was not striking in Paul's day, but sadly is in our day, that Paul expected that children would be present in the church when his letter was read to the church. He expected that children would be there. They would not be off in some Sunday school class outside the public worship and the gathering of the people of God. He expected them to be present. The expectation was so basic that he addresses them, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And the very simple point I want to make this morning as we begin to reflect on these significant verses is that in the Bible, children belong in the public worship of the people of God. They belong. And they belong for this simple reason. Worship is the covenant family together, praising, blessing, adoring, and serving their God. That's why in Matthew chapter 21, we find our Lord Jesus Christ quoting from the 8th Psalm. Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared or ordained praise. We're not to think that children are not praising and blessing and worshipping their God until they come to what we consider to be an age of discernment or discretion. Out of the mouths of nursing babes, you have ordained praise. Because the sovereign covenant Lord works whensoever and wheresoever he pleases. He works above and beyond our imaginations and our capacities. We find John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. We find John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb with joy. Now we think, how can that be? Well, I don't know how it can be, but the fact is, it can be and was. Because God is graciously sovereign, bringing to new life whensoever and wheresoever he pleases. To exclude our children from the worship of God is really to say to them that they should be absent from the most significant and important activity under heaven. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ took the infants, the brethe, the infants in his arms. He blessed them and said, of such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Children belong by divine appointment. They are included, which is why, of course, we baptize children at God's command. We baptize them believing that God purposes to be gracious to our children. He embraces them in his covenant kindness. And thereby we celebrate the sovereignty of grace. We're not saved by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the instrumental means. But grace, the sovereign good pleasure and kindness and purpose of God, is what brings us to the new birth in Jesus Christ. And it is the sovereign Lord who embraces children in his covenant kindness. And so Paul, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, expects that children will be present to hear, to imbibe, to learn, to receive the counsel of God as much as their young lives are able to receive it. And my friends, we underestimate vastly, in my judgment, we underestimate vastly what children are able to receive from God by the power of his Holy Spirit. Children, you belong. But you also need to understand this, that being part of the church family does not automatically mean you're a Christian believer. When Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, he wrote at the beginning of chapter 9 with a very heavy heart. He spoke of the people of Israel, God's own people. He said, you know, to this people God gave his covenants. God gave them his law. God gave to them the temple worship. God even gave to them the Christ, who is over all forever to be praised. God lavished blessing upon blessing on this people. But then Paul goes on to say, my heart's desire and prayer to God for this blessed people is that they might be saved. Because with all the blessings of the covenant God, they had not put their trust in the covenant God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, with all your many privileges and all your many blessings, you need to realize, like everyone else, that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be forever lost. Except a man is born again, made anew by God, unless someone trusts in Jesus Christ to rescue them from the coming wrath and to put them right with God and to fit them for heaven, we might have all the privileges that God has ever given anyone and find ourselves at the last hearing the Lord Jesus Christ say, depart from me, I never knew you. Covenant blessing does not mean of itself covenant salvation. That's why the great business of mums and dads is to so live before their children and so speak to their children that from their earliest moments their children will know that trust in the Saviour is the one thing needful. Well, children, younger and older, what does the Lord want you and want all of us to hear this morning? Well, I think we can summarize Paul's words in three words: obligation, qualification, and motivation. Obligation, qualification, and motivation. Number one, a divine obligation. Children, obey your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother. Now you'll notice this is not a suggestion for you to consider. It's a command for you to obey. Indeed, Paul goes on to tell us that it is the fifth commandment, which you'll find in Exodus 20 verse 12, in Deuteronomy 5 verse 16. The fifth commandment. God commands you to obey and to honour your mum and your dad. Think of this commandment in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very remarkable, isn't it, that actually we're only told two things about our Lord Jesus from the time he was taken to the temple to be circumcised and dedicated until his baptism by John in the River Jordan. We're told actually really only two things. Number one, he went to church. We know that from Luke chapter 2. And the second thing we're told is he was submissive to Mary and Joseph. He was submissive to Mary and Joseph. Luke puts it very strikingly. Luke chapter 2 at verse 51. Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. He was submissive. The Lord of glory, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the fountain of all wisdom and knowledge, was submissive to his earthly parents who were sinners. He was submissive to them. And in the very next verse, listen to the connection, Luke says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now we'll come to this in a moment, but Luke is showing us here that there was a connection between Jesus' submissiveness, his obedience and honouring of his parents, and his increase in wisdom and stature and favour with God and with man. The Lord Jesus Christ knew more than Mary and Joseph, but he obeyed them. He honoured them. Boys and girls, should you be less than the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you're thinking, but why is that commandment there at all? Why is the fifth commandment there? Honour your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land to which the Lord your God is bringing you. Why is that commandment there at all? Well, I think it's there for two reasons, at least. Number one, to provide a happy and harmonious foundation for society. This is why our society in this country is going to the dogs. I remember over 30 years ago, my minister in Edinburgh had speaking to the 4 and 5 and 6 year olds and saying to them, boys and girls, what's wrong with Britain today? And everyone was looking around thinking, well, that's some question to ask 4 and 5 and 6 year olds. But I think I could ask you that question. And I think you might give me a good answer. What's wrong with Britain today? Now, my minister then had the answer, boys and girls, moral and spiritual declension. Not quite sure the children grasped what he was getting at. That's where I get it from, actually, you know. But if I asked you the question, what's wrong with Britain today? I wonder if you would give me this answer. Mr. Hamilton, this is what's wrong with Britain today. Boys and girls don't obey their parents. The reason why society is in such a mess is because so many families are in such a mess. Children flagrantly disobeying, not honouring, respecting their parents. And as it is in the home, so it comes to be throughout the whole of society. Now, I need to tell you, boys and girls, something this morning. Probably you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Your parents are not perfect. You might think, my parents are perfect. Well, one day you'll realize they're not quite. They may be wonderful. They may be fabulous. But they're not perfect. But God has given you your parents to love you, to care for you, to teach you, to discipline you. He has given you your parents because he loves you and wants his best for you. Boys and girls, it's not easy being a parent. Don't make your parents' job hard. Make it as easy as you can for them. Obey your parents. That doesn't just mean do what they say, because Paul goes on to say, honour your mother and father. Do it with a glad and willing heart. Do it because you know it's right, and because you know they love you and you love them. There is a world of difference between simply obeying what your father says and in your heart saying, Dad, I'm glad to do what you say because I know you love me and want my best in this life and in the life to come for me. So there's the obligation. Children, obey and honour your parents. But secondly, there's a qualification. Children, says Paul, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, some say, well, he means this. Children have to only obey their parents when their parents tell them to do things that are right and good. Children are not to obey parents if parents ask them to do things that God forbids. Now, that's true. I don't think it's the truth being taught here, but that's true. But children, obey your parents in the Lord. This, I think, is what Paul is saying. Obey your parents because this is what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. He's reinforcing the fifth commandment. The Christian life is not lived apart from the commandments of God. But the Christian life is lived in fellowship with Jesus Christ under the commandments of God. And as we've seen, the Lord Jesus Christ was submissive not only to his Father in heaven, but to Mary and Joseph, his earthly parents. Obey your parents, honour your father and mother, because this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience to parents is not an Old Testament commandment that no longer applies. It has a renewed, invigorated application in the new covenant. Because we're united to Jesus Christ, the obedient one, the submissive one, the one who came into the world not to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him, and who was submissive to his parents. You remember how even as the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, he said to the Apostle John, "Take care," in so many words, "take care of my mother." Boys and girls, obedience to parents is a fruit of the gospel, one of the signs that you truly are a believer, that your faith is true and trusting in Jesus Christ, is that you obey your parents. This is what God commands. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. In fact, Jesus said, did he not, "If you love me, keep my commandments." One of the marks that you love me, that you are in saving fellowship with me, is that you keep my commandments. In fact, when Paul writes something similar to the church in Colossae, he says, "Obey your parents because this is pleasing to the Lord." Do you want to make God glad this morning? Do you want to make God happy? Honor your parents. Obey your parents. It's one of the marks of the new life that God implants within us through faith in Jesus Christ. If this is absent from your life, I want to tell you this morning. If you are not obeying and honoring your parents, you can hardly be a Christian at all. You can hardly be a believer. Because Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is what it means to belong to Jesus Christ, to be like the obedient one, the submissive one. But then thirdly, Paul gives us a motivation. Why should we do this? Now, God could simply say, "Because I said so," and that would be enough. But he never ever says that. He never ever says that. Why are we to do this? Well, says Paul, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Why should you do this? First of all, because it's right. What does that mean? Well, it's right because God commands it. Everything God commands is right because he is right. It's right because the Lord Jesus' example confirms it. And it's right because everybody everywhere knows that this is how we should live. When you look at the animal kingdom, you see, I walk through King's two or three times a week, and in these past weeks you see the little moorhens and the little ducks just having given birth, and they're toddling after their mother. And you stop and you smile and you can't help but admire just the protective care of the mother and these little fledglings all gathering around to be watched over and cared for. Nature shouts out that it's right. And we know it's right. And we know that when children do not obey and honour their parents, there is something profoundly wrong at heart. Because when you refuse to honour and obey your parents, you're really saying to God, "I want nothing to do with you who commands this." Refusing to obey and honour parents is symptomatic of a deeper problem. A heart that is unwilling to honour and obey the Lord. Boys and girls, the reason why it is not going well with many children in our land today, maybe many reasons, but here's one of the very primary ones. The reason why it's not going well with many, maybe with some of you here this morning, is because you're not obeying and honouring your mother and father as the Lord your God commands. You ever thought about that? Children, let me say again, your parents are very far from perfect. But your mother nurtured you in her womb for 9 months and then fed you until you could feed yourself. Your parents clothed you, tucked you up in bed, cleaned up after you when you were sick, protected you, and hopefully much more than these things, prayed for you and with you, read the word of the living God to you, took you to church, pleaded with God when they were alone that he would bless your present and eternal good. Your parents are God's principal means to bring you to Jesus Christ and to heaven. You ever thought about that? Under God, your mum and dad are God's principal means of bringing you safely to heaven. Not to honour your parents is a huge sin. It's saying, I know better than God. And that's rebellion and defiance. And Paul says, honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. I don't think anyone really knows quite what Paul is getting at here. There's lots of different reasons being given for Paul meaning one thing or the other. In fact, it's the only commandment with a specific promise attached to it, for one thing. But maybe we're to think of it in terms of relationships. This is the first commandment in terms not of rank of importance, but in terms of relationship with this annexed promise that it may go well with you. And that God will bless you on the earth that he set you upon. So children, let me ask you this morning, for the sake of Jesus Christ, do you obey your parents? Do you honour your parents? That's really asking you this question. Do you love your parents? Because if you love your parents, you will honour and obey them, even when you think they've got it wrong. Because that's what the Lord expects and requires and commands of everyone who confesses his Son, Jesus Christ. But I want to close by saying a few words to parents, although there'll be more of this next time. Parents, do you make it as easy as possible for your children to obey you and honour you? Let me ask you some questions. Do your children hear you tell them constantly that you love them? You say, yes, I do that. Here's another question. Do your children feel and see that what you say to them is actually true? Can they see with their own eyes that your words are not empty? That you love them? That you would lay down your life for them? That you really do love them? That they are more precious to you than anything in this life? Do you make it easy for your children to obey you and to do it with a glad heart? Not a stubborn, rebellious, willful heart? Or Are you perhaps more irritable, unpredictable and impatient with your children that you make it hard for them to give you the obedience and the honour that God commands? Let me instance one thing as I close. I've found over the years, parents, and I must confess, it grieves me and saddens me to the very depth of my being, seeing and hearing parents shouting at their children to command obedience. I don't mean that we should never raise our voices to our children. Raising our voice is an appropriate way of impressing something on our children. But there is a diameter of difference between raising your voice and shouting at your children. When you shout at your children, you've lost it and you've lost them. You've lost it for yourself and you've lost them, but for the grace of God. Because it betrays a lack of self-control and imparts a deadly example to our children. Our children should know the very first time we say something, we mean it. You say, that's idealistic. It's not idealistic. You may have to say it a second time in case they didn't hear you. But if your children don't know the first time you say something that you mean it, you're storing up wrath for the day of wrath. You're making it almost impossible for them to give you the glad-hearted obedience that the Lord commands of them. Parents, do you make it as easy as you possibly can for your children to obey you and honour you? I say that because, you know, the Lord our God has made it as easy for us to love and obey him as he possibly could. He showed us in the giving of his Son that he loved us even unto death. He showed us in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that our good meant more to him than the comfort of his own Son. Our good required the self-offering of the Son of God, and the Father said, here he is. If it takes this to secure their good, I will give him gladly. And the Son comes and gives himself freely. God sweetly draws obedience from us because love makes obedience sweet. He makes it easy for us to obey him. But if I left it there, we would all feel utterly crushed, I think. And that's why the Bible never leaves it there. And that's why the words of the 103rd Psalm are so significant, that great psalm that speaks of the covenant upbringing of children, and right in the midst of it, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. God is rich in his mercy. He is kind to sinners. How often, as parents, have we not had to turn aside and cry before God for mercy because we've failed? But he is rich in mercy. He is kind to sinners. Children, do you obey your parents and honour them? Do you thank God every day that in his kindness he gave you the parents that he did, with all their weaknesses and sins? Do you thank the Lord for them? Do you pray that God would make them the best daddy and the best mummy they could possibly be? And mums and dads, and would-be mums and dads, and others, how easy do we make it for our children to obey us and to honour us? You see, it's all got to do with the gospel. It's the gospel spirit to love our children. And it's the gospel spirit for children to obey their parents. This is what Jesus did. And Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as He, God helping us by His Spirit. Amen.